and His grace. I can feel the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Of the Lord today. How many of you enjoyed service here last night? Aren't you glad the Lord sees you in the light that He does see you in? He loves you so much. You mean everything to Him. You may look at yourself and you think, I'm absolutely worthless. I'm absolutely nothing. And really, when you get right down to it, we're all dirt. But you know what? There was something placed on the inside of you and me that all the gold in Fort Knox can't buy. All the money that Rome holds in this world cannot touch what lays in this dirt vessel right here. Are you glad that you're a vessel of the Holy Ghost? Are you glad you're a vessel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you give Him a real good hand clap of praise? You love Him with all your heart. Oh, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace.
I can feel the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on His face.
The Lord is in this place. One more time. Surely,
surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
I can feel His mighty power and His grace.
I can feel the brush of pain.
I
see glory on His face.
Yes, and surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in the house of God on Sunday morning. What a privilege it is. Folks, a compliment this morning. I want you to look at all these young people sitting on these front pews this morning. Look around you. Look at all these young guys, these young ladies, all of them sitting on these front pews. Amen. Amen. Now they're filtered in with some that's not so young, but they're there because they want to feel young, I reckon. But God bless you. That speaks volumes. I've been in churches before, and I'm sure you have too. All the young people are either out or they're in the back. I appreciate you, folks. I want you to know I appreciate you, folks. Give them one more nice hand this morning. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. I'll give you a rose while you can still smell it. All right? Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes this morning. While we look at our prayer request, so glad to see each and every one of you in the house of the Lord. Brother Bert, Sister Barbara, God bless you. Glad you're feeling better. Good to have you in the house of the Lord with us this morning. Brother Warren, God bless you. I just keep testifying about you and what God's done for you. I appreciate what God's done for our brother, don't you? Amen. Amen. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Sister Brittany Elliott would like to be remembered in prayer, not feeling well this morning. They're asking that we would remember her as we pray today. Brother Caleb Adkins wants us to remember Colin in prayer, running a fever, not feeling well today. So let's remember that child as we pray. Brother Gary, Sister Lana says, please remember a dear friend of ours, Pete, in prayer. He's in the VA hospital. The doctors are still running tests to determine a diagnosis for his problems, his sickness. So let's remember that prayer request. I want to pray for Brother Randy Walton, not feeling well this morning. So let's remember that prayer request as we pray. Please remember Sister Kirkpatrick's nephew, James Jones, from Missouri. Very bad shape from pancreatitis. So we want to remember that prayer request as we pray. Brother Bobby Hayton says, please pray for a lady that we met in Kingsport, 82 years old. Both sons are dying with cancer. Bob is 65 years old. Tom is 60 years old. She requested that our church pray. She was a real Christian lady. So let's take that on our heart today as we pray. Brother Jerry Glenn says, I will be having a prostate biopsy on Tuesday. Pray for a good report. So we just commit that to the Lord. Sister Jane Terrell, this is a prayer request for her. She became ill, had to leave and go home. I think they're going to maybe go to the emergency room and just pray for her. She's been very sick in the last few days. So let's just pray for her and Brother Gene as he recovers from his surgery. He's coming along real nice. But let's just pray for that family. You have an unspoken prayer request this morning, something you'd like for this group to pray about. Do you believe we're serving a prayer answering God? Do you believe he's bigger than all of our problems? Do you believe it with all your heart? Could we stand this morning? Brother Rob Weber, come. Take us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these prayer requests. We just commit these things unto the Lord today. Certainly appreciate you, Brother Rob. God bless you, buddy.
Let's pray.
Dear Lord, once again we come before you in prayer. We bow our heads in faith, Lord, believing that you are more than able to accomplish anything you've set forth. And all that we need is the faith, Lord, in you to appropriate that blessing upon us. I pray, Lord God, and I thank you, as Brother Louis said, all the young people in the front. And the glory on each face as the song spoke, Lord, as we see Jesus Christ in our brethren. I pray, Lord God, that by these prayer requests, that these people that have penned these prayer requests know that they are not alone. That it's something that we have brothers and sisters in faith believing that these things will come to pass, Lord, with the faith, according to the perfect will of God. I thank you, Lord, for the day. I thank you for the services that we've been given. I thank you for the revelation that comes day after day after day, Lord God, as we are perfected in your image. I pray, Lord God, for oneness. I pray, Lord, as we become one, coming together as a church body, praying for these prayer requests, that we become more like you and see you in each other and in ourselves more and more day by day. Bring us home, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Rob. God bless you, buddy. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor in the service with us today, we certainly want to take this opportunity to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming today, we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks. Could we say this together? God bless our streamers. God bless our streamers. Give them a nice hand, if you will, this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. And most of us around here, we live from check to check. Payday to payday. That's the way our lifestyles go. And some of us don't even make it that far, but we try. We stretch it out as far as we can. But here's the best part about your case, whatever your case is. If you hold the treasures of this word for this hour, you are beyond rich.
Amen.
You are beyond wealthy.
Amen.
Bill Gates can't touch your wealth. He can't even touch your wealth. Do you love him with all your heart because what he's given to you? Give him one more hand clap of praise in the house of the Lord today. I'm rich in faith and hope and love. I got more than my share. I've been moving to my mansion just over in glory, where I'm a rightful heir. I'm rich in faith and hope and love. I got more than my share. I got more than my share. I've been moving to the mansion over in glory, where I'm a rightful heir.
My father owns the cattle on a thousand hills. I believe I own at least one. I stand amazed when I see his face, knowing that I'm his son. A guardian angel watching me. He's with me everywhere. When I need my Father in heaven above, I breathe just a simple prayer.
Well, I'm rich in faith, a hope and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to my mansion over in glory, where I'm a rightful heir.
He has cleansed me, forgiven me of all my sins. He took me in. He's building me a mansion beyond compare. Hallelujah, I'm a millionaire.
Oh, I'm rich in faith, hope and love. I got more than my share. Sins. He took me in. He's filling up mansion beyond compare. Hallelujah, I'm a millionaire.
I'm rich in faith. I hope.
sing this little song this morning. Brother Aaron Gilruth gets ready to sing for us. And we had a request that Sister Lindsay sing the song that she sung last night, which was absolutely beautiful. Did you enjoy that song? So she'll come onto the platform, either how you want to sing it, who's first, it don't really matter. They'll come on the platform and be getting ready to sing. Let's sing this little song. In the morning when I rise. Oh, let's start our day with talking to the Lord. He's the best friend you'll ever talk to. I promise you that. In the morning when I rise. In the morning when I rise. In the morning when I rise. Sing it now. Oh, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus.
You can have all this world.
Oh, yes, you can.
Give me Jesus.
Give me Jesus. Certainly, you can be seated this morning. We certainly appreciate Brother Aaron and Sister Lindsay. I just say this. I've told a lot of people this, and if I haven't, I will when I get to you. But these folks are the kind of folks that makes a good church a better church. And I certainly appreciate them, don't you? Give Sister Lindsay a nice hand as she sings.
I still try to take control. 'Cause I get scared when I can't see the end. But all you want for me is to let go. You're parting waters, making a way for me. I bring my praise before I bring my need. 'cause there's no fear you've not already seen. I rest my heart on all your promises, 'cause I have seen and know your faithfulness. Your parting waters making a way for me. Your moving mountains that I don't even see. You've answered my prayer before I even speak. All you need for me to be is still and know that you are God. Be still and know that you, trust that you are parting waters. Lord, you whispered my name. Oh, you've answered my prayer. You're moving mountains. You're parting waters, making a way for me. You're moving mountains that I don't even see. You've answered my prayer before I even speak. All you need
You can call me. You can say I'm a fool. I'm not saying it's easy. Sometimes it seems so cruel. Oh, but I remember where I came from and what you put me through. And I'm saying it's over. Devil, I'm saying we're through. You've had the chance to make something and blue, and you may not be knowing just exactly what to do. Oh, but listen to this. Oh, but won't you turn to my Jesus? He will make you brand new. When you tell him it's over, you tell the devil we're through. You've had the chance to make something.
you turn me to shambles. You made a wreck out of me. But now I'm given to Jesus, the time of my life. And I'm saying it's over. Devil, I'm saying we're through.
You believe that this morning?
Oh, you've had your chance to make something out of my life, and you turn me to shambles. You made a wreck out of me, but now I'm giving to Jesus the time of my life. And I'm saying it's over. Devil, I'm saying we're through.
And I'm saying it's over.
Devil, I'm saying.
That is good, ain't it? Praise the Lord. Just go ahead and tell him, devil, we're through. Glory! Hallelujah. Amen. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 1. Praise be to God. And in an honor for us to be together today, the presence of the Lord. Amen. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 1. We'll read through verses 4. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which came up from the washing, whereof every one bear twins, and none is barren among them. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Thy temples are like a piece of a pomegranate within thy locks. Thy neck is like the tower of David, builded for an armory, whereon there hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we so love you today. It is with grateful hearts that we bow our heads to the dust of the earth from whence we were taken. We know if time will go on, and if the rapture doesn't come for us, many of us will go back to that dust. But we know that's not our end. We will be raised again in a new body. For that, we are so grateful. We're thankful, Father, that when we take our loved ones and we drop them down in the ground, and we stand there at the grave and hold one another's hands and cry, and then we go home and sort through the boxes of memories. We're so grateful that's not the end. We're so grateful, Heavenly Father, that you've made a way for us that we can be redeemed. I pray you take your word and speak to us once again today, Father. Help me that I can get out of the way. I've studied, I've prepared, I've done everything that I know to do, but it takes you to help a mortal to be able to speak words of eternal life. And I pray you'd help the people to be able to receive it today as coming from you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Greet each of you today in the name of the Lord. For those of you that wasn't with us last night, we were bringing Solomon and the Shulamite up to their wedding night. I'd like to speak to you today on that again. The anticipation of what they have planned for must have been so overwhelming. Those of you that are married, have been married, you know that the wedding night can be a very exciting yet nervous type of thing. The wedding, of course, itself, you want it to go well. You want all your plans, your preparation to be successful. But then on the wedding night itself, a man and a woman, especially believing Christians, they have not done as the world has done. So they are separate. They are clean before God. So it can be a very strenuous, nervous type of thing. We don't want to look at that part of it so much as it is in the spiritual application to us as believers, that we are constantly wondering, am I pleasing my Lord? Is there anything that I could do better in a way that would please Him more? Does He still love me? Do I still meet His needs? And am I the fulfillment of His desire? Is there any impediment that He sees in me that displeases Him? So there's a lot that goes with the wedding night itself, and then, of course, thereafter. But we just imagine today that as they have now come into the bridal chamber, as it was called, the celebration is still going on the outside. The music is still being played. People are still feasting. They're still in this type of atmosphere, revelry, as it was. But it's a total different thing that's happening inside the bridal chamber itself. And that is the beginning here of chapter 4, verse 1, when Solomon is now going to bring the bride by his words into a place that is going to be needful in order to help her surrender. The entirety of our walk with God is really pretty simple. It's based on one thing, us learning how to surrender more and more and more to Him. Well, once we receive Him as our Savior, once we're filled with the Holy Ghost, we never have to be born again. We're only born again once and sealed into the presence of God. But our life is an ongoing learning process of learning how to surrender to Him, and so that He can use us and we can be more of what He wants us to be. As a matter of fact, we'll find it here maybe next time I speak to you about it, that He beckons her as He calls her from Lebanon, and He says, "Come with me, O my spouse from Lebanon, and come to Jerusalem." Lebanon was her home, and it was a place of dire straits, a lot of difficulty that was there, lions and caves and rocks and mountains, and a lot of totally different terrain than what Jerusalem was. And a believer's life is a constant daily leaving Lebanon. It's not this that we happen at one time and that's it. In our nature, we're truly dead to that. But in our surrender to the Lord, it's an ongoing process. Aren't you glad that He's merciful during that time? For many of you that's been serving the Lord, you know that it's constantly going on in your life and with God. And there's things today that no doubt you don't even know that's there in your life, that maybe next week someone will say something about it from the pulpit, and it will strike your heart, and you realize you need to give that up. You need to overcome this or that or the other. It was there the whole time, and yet He knew it, but He's dealing with us in a progressive way. In a way by which we're able to be able to do it. Oh, I love that about Him. So we find that the song here of Solomon was the very epitome of the greatest love story that has ever been written. Not understood by, I grant you, the majority of humanity, of course, even with the many of Christians that would read it. The difference of opinions and things that you get out of it is amazing, really. But we know that God's great mystery of Christ being hid in God and the bride being hid in Christ, the fullness of it could only be revealed in the last day. Paul was able to write about it. Peter was able to write about it. The shadows and the types and the imagery that was revealed in the Old Testament, they could see it, but they couldn't see it in full view. So we are a privileged people to be able to live after the seals have been opened, when the entire mysteries of God have been revealed. Aren't you grateful for that? The revealing of the seals is not just terminology that we say around the message, but there is a content that lays in there that helps us define our position of who we are. Now, unlike the Shulamite, when we are married to the Lord Jesus, and probably if I would ask every one of you here today, when do you think that you actually got married to the Lord? No doubt the opinions would be diverse. No doubt some of you would think that you actually got married to the Lord when you gave your heart to Him, when you was, maybe coming up in a Baptist church or a Methodist church, and the preacher made an altar call. You might have been a young man or a young woman. You come up to the altar and you gave your heart to God, and you felt like then was when you got married to Christ. Some of you might feel like, well, it's whenever I got sanctified because I got closer to the Lord. Others of you that come up to Pentecost, you might feel like, well, I really believe I got married to Him whenever I got the Holy Ghost and I spoke in tongues and I shouted and I really embraced what God had done. Others of you no doubt would say, no, none of those things are right. Actually, you get married to Him when you accept the message of the hour. That's really when you get married to Christ. Now, all of those have a portion of truth, but none of them are the real truth of what I just asked you. Now, if we were born whenever we were born into this world, we were born married. Now, I know that that seems strange and unusual, but we were actually born married. And whenever we were born, it was not by our own choice, actually. It was by our adulterous parent Eve that throwed us into this union, and it proves that Satan knew what he was doing in the Garden of Eden. Now, if he could be able to inject himself into the human race and do it in the initial stages of the Garden of Paradise, he had enough understanding about the program of God to know that it would go on down to consecutive thousands and thousands of years, and it would go unending until God would do something to break that cycle. Now, let me go this way so you'll understand it, that we are born, when we are born into this world, we're born in sin, shaping iniquity, come to the world speaking lies. We're born without a choice. Born without a choice. Your mother and father never asked you if you wanted to be born. They never asked you if you wanted to be born in their family. But you were born in there without a choice, without a will. And you were born in sin. So the husband, the first husband that had the rule over you was your nature. Now, unlike the Shulamite, which as far as we know was a young virgin girl, she had not been married, she had not been betrothed. But yet Solomon, being a king, had she been married before and her husband would have died, or had she been betrothed and her husband would have passed before they would have become actually consummated the marriage, Solomon being a king, he could have taken her anyhow. But that's not so with the Lord Jesus, because the Lord Jesus is not just a king, he is God and he is the high priest. Now, when our nature was given to us by our natural birth, so whenever we were born, immediately when we were born, then we entered into this union by the natural birth, which we received and inherited because we were born a mortal. So we were born married. Now, listen to me, listen carefully, that the believers are a strange lot, really. They are a peculiar group of people in many ways. You were born first a mortal without a choice, and you were born married. But believers have this to happen to them twice. Glory. If you were born naturally and were born married, then guess how you get married again? When you're reborn. When you were born, naturally, you were born married. All God has to do is give you another birth and fix it so that when you're truly reborn, your nature and your marriage is linked together by the power of your birth. Amen.
If our first natural birth binds us so that naturally we love the world, naturally we desire the world, naturally we want to feed on the things of the world, and when we are born, even before we become mature enough to make our choices, we are born, or this is instilled in us, to where automatically we will want the world, we will love the world, and we will naturally desire. The friend, you understand that this is why that we do not condemn the people out here in the world that live the way they do. Certainly what they do is wrong. We do not condone it, but in that sense, they're hogs. They can't help it. They're hogs, they're pigs, just like you was. Just like I was. So naturally we love the world and we cater to the world and we want the world and we want the things of the world. Why? Because it is our natural nature. It is our husband. And our husband that had the rule over us was our natural nature that we received by the first birth. So as soon as we were born, we were married. And that set the cycle of our human makeup in the cycle of matrimony to natural desires, to natural tastes, to natural inclinations, no matter how horrible that they might have been, because it was the marriage that we were married into by our natural birth. Now think, you were not just born a sinner in that you were born wrong, but you were born automatically with a husband over you, which ruled you with a rod of iron. And that husband told you what to do and you done it. That husband dominated your desires. He dominated your appetites. He dominated where you went, how you talked, how you lived, the people you associated with. I mean, that husband was a tyrant. Praise be to God. He was a tyrant. Oh my. Now, how in the world are we ever going to be able to get remarried again? Now, of course, the predestinated seed of God, their names were written on the Lamb's portion of the book of life before the foundation of the world. But you were identified as a mortal also in the book of life. But there must be a transfer of recognition to where that your life is identified, not in both books at the same time, but God cannot be able to deal with you as long as that old husband of yours is alive. So something, of course, has to happen. Now, we believe that for those of you that are sitting here today that are truly born again, let me just give you the punchline right now so you won't wonder where I'm going. For those of you that are truly born again and you've got the token in your life, the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, you actually got married when you got born again. That's when you were married. Oh, you say, I was out there in Pentecost. I was there. Well, to be honest with you, most of us felt like probably we were born again when we was out there, but in reality, you was not until you come to the Word of God for your age. I was in Pentecost. I shouted. I preached. I spoke in tongues. I done all of that, and I thought I was born again, but really, I wasn't truly born again because I could become born again of the Word of God for this hour. Of this age, of this message. And that's when I truly became born again. And that's really when I got married to Christ the Word. Glory. So it was by birth that my next marriage or my second marriage was instituted, that by that I was reborn and I had now a new husband that was over my life. This husband is not a tyrant. This husband is not a dictator. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a savior. He's not one to push you down. He's one to lift you up. He don't want to cast you to hell. He wants to take you to heaven. He don't want to condemn you. He wants to justify you. He don't want to say there's no mercy for you, but he wants to say there is mercy and forgiveness and pardon. That's the kind of husband he is. That's why I'm answering back to the song our brother and sister just sang. When you and I truly received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we said to the devil, devil, what's wrong? Well, through, devil, and I'm divorcing you. You're dying to me, and I'm dying to you. Glory. No Notice in verse 1 of this, he opens this up, "Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair." In verse 7, he says again, "Behold, thou art fair, my love. There is no spot in thee." He calls her fair one. He calls her the fairest among women. He calls her all these different titles and terms. Of course, they are terms of endearment, of his love, by which he projects to her that is not projected to any other people in the economy of God. Now, there are categories of people in the economy of God. Foolish virgin, 144,000. Different people that are in the economy of God. As there was in the Old Testament, so is there in the New. But this is directed toward the love of his life. Those by whom he will absolutely project the purest, most holy love that the world has ever known. Now he says to her, "There is no spot in thee." Now remember the little Shulamite. She's not a royal queen. She's not from Egypt. She's not from Babylon, but she's over near Lebanon, which is the lower part of Galilee. She was raised in a rough, crude type of way. Remember, the women of the court would have said about her that she was black because she was out exposed to the sun. So she was suntanned, really, really dark. And this time of culture and their speculation of the way they looked at people, a woman which was a very fair skin, white skin, was a desired treasure. So it was one that they would use that as the example. So compared to the light, fair-skinned women and looking at her, well, there was no comparison at all. But yet Solomon saw something in her that was different than what the women of the denomination, I mean the women of the court, saw in her. He saw a beauty about her that only his eyes would be able to see. You understand that? It's the same way with the elect of God. The people of the world look at us, and you even look at yourself, and sometimes we look at one another and think, "My goodness, how could God love such a person like that?" I don't know. It's part of the mystery of God to me, but all I know is he does. He loves me in spite of my faults. He loves me in spite of my flaws. He loves you in spite of yours. Aren't you glad? Because he is a loving heavenly father. So now he is talking to her, because remember, this is the king. This is King Solomon. And this is a great man. His words could no doubt been so great and so personified by the wisdom that God gave him, that he could spoke in such a way that this poor little girl would have sat there and she would have felt so humiliated trying to even talk to such a man. This man had such wisdom. Read Proverbs, read Ecclesiastes, read these different books, and you're talking about a man that was given such wisdom and understanding about life, about botany life, about insects, about so many things. This wisdom of God proceeded forth out of this man like a fountain. Can you imagine then this little humble girl trying to sit and make conversation with this man? Trying to sit and understand and talk to this man. So what does he do? He condescends to her level and he begins to talk to her about things that she can relate to. So he tells her she has dove's eyes, which is something she can relate to. He tells her that her hair is like goat's hair, which is something she could relate to. Over and over again, he's trying to bring her into this spot on the wedding night that she can be comfortable to surrender herself to him. Now notice, he is not a tyrant. She is his wife by now, and they've done exchange of vows under the huppah, so they've already went that far. But he does not want to force himself upon her. So he will deal with her. If she is not there by the first night, he will deal with her under the second night, the third, fourth, fifth, whatever that it takes in order for her to be comfortable. Don't you understand, friend? That's where we are. He could make us obey him. He could whip us. He could smack us. He could hold us over hell and scare the liver out of us and say, "If you don't obey me, I'm going to burn you up in hell." He could scare us into doing that, but he don't want to do that. He wants to talk to us, and he wants to calm us, and he wants to love us. Why? So that we will surrender on our own instead of being made to surrender or scared to surrender. He wants to talk us. What? By terms of endearment, by terms of love, by the magnitude of his great love. He wants to talk you in to surrendering everything that you are to him. Amen.
So finally he tells her, there is no spot in thee. Imagine in her mind she's really struggling to believe this about herself. Now she's not been at court very long at all. She's not really known him that long. She's trying to pick up royal talk, royal behavior, royal acting. And no doubt she lacks the confidence that other people that was born there have. So she's struggling the way some of us do. To be honest with you, I could relate a whole lot better to being the garbage guy in heaven. If there would be a garbage truck, I'd say, yep, that'd be my job. Yeah, if God needs any woodworking done, any stone laid around heaven, that'd probably be me. I could, to be honest, in my mind, I could relate to me being something like that better than I could be in the bride of Christ, me being identified as one of the honored people of eternity as well as you. That the angels of God will bow as we come through and identify us as the queen of heaven. Now maybe some of you all think so high yourself, you don't have a problem with that. Well, more than likely, you still ain't looking at it right either. Because if you're looking at it through your flesh, you still ain't seen it right. You need more revelation. So here he is doing exactly what needs to be done, which I see myself the parallel that our Lord Jesus is doing to his queen around the world in order to bring her to that spot. That she herself, before this can actually take place, the body change, that she must accept who she is by revelation. Intellectually, we say amen. Intellectually, that's right. Intellectually, yes sir, that's the truth. But many of us still lack the revelation in our soul. So are we are married to that revelation, and it's so personified within our being in spite of everything else we see, that's what holds us in troublesome times. Now what's this in the invisible union, paragraph 212? It was nature associated with death, your first husband that had the rule over you. Now notice how he says it, rule over you. Your first husband that had the rule. And you better believe it, that he absolutely used that as a rule too. He was a tyrant over you. That had the rule over you was your nature by natural birth. So you were born then, as soon as you were born, you were married to this first husband of yours, which had the rule over you by natural birth. So now you can take our young children that are raised here in the message in our church, and we can teach them, we can send them down to Sunday school, and the teachers, bless their hearts, they do everything they can to try to help them. Then they come up to the preteen class and on up, and the young people, and Brother Wes and Brother Rob and them will try to take and do what they can. I try to do what I can as a pastor, but still until they become converted, they're still under the rule of that first husband. Now we tell them don't do this and don't do that and don't do that, but they're still married to that first husband. And that first husband will dominate them. So you can tell them, don't you lie. If you lie, I'm going to spank you. You better not lie. And you know what they'll do? They get in a tough enough spot, they'll lie despite your threats. And just hope you don't catch them. Why? Because that husband over them is such a tyrant. Because face it, parents, if you really love your children, you don't want to be a tyrant in your home. You don't want to be a dictator in your home and have to beat the fire out of them to make them mind. You want to try to love them in the mind, don't you? But you know what? This husband don't care. He don't care about you. He don't love you. He never loved me. He just wants his way, and he wants to rule us, and he's going to get his way. That is, until I get born again. Can't you see why the devil don't want you to have the Holy Ghost? It don't make the devil mad just because you come to this church. It don't make the devil mad just because you say you believe the message. He don't want you to get born again, because if you get born again, your husband's got to die first. And if your husband ever dies, there is no resurrection for that first husband. Now watch, I love, absolutely love the way he explains this. Natural, now you love the world because you are the world. You love the world because you are the world and part of the world. That right? And the congregation says,
Thank you. Your desires was by nature, to love the world, which you're a part of. You're a part of nature. So when you're born into this world as a mortal, then you are born a part of nature. How did you come? By sixth desire. So this husband that had the rule over you, he was born married to him. And whenever you caught the breath of life, you caught your husband. You didn't even have a choice. I don't want to marry you. I don't like you. Said, shut up. Amen. You're mine. He'll leave you alone for a few years, and then you'll learn to mama and dada and baba, and you'll start out like that, and then before you know it, that old husband, you're a child bride. I said, you're a child bride. That old husband, my mama, I didn't do that. Tim done that. No, it wasn't me that done it. It was Jim that done it. Right there, that old husband, that old lying nature of yours kicks in. And then you start picking up things. Come on now, don't get quiet. You took a little candy and you took this and that in the oven. Some of you boys sneaked out and found an old butt of a cigarette and started smoking around on it. Oh, Lord. Some of you sample with pot, and some of you done this and that and the other. Why? Because that husband of yours wanted to control you. He wanted to lead you. God, he has one purpose in mind: destroy you. Oh, but may I say, the Lord Jesus has one purpose in mind, and that is save you. Amen. Oh my, that's the reason you have to be born again. You have to separate. You have to die to that first husband. See, so you can't live with yourself. Well, I'll divorce him. I'll hang him up there to the occasion. No, sir. No writing of divorcement. He dies. The nature of the world has to die. Every speck, notice how he's identifying him now, him. Every speck of him has to die. You have to be reunited again with another nature. Now, God can't leave you unmarried once your first husband's dead. You have to be reunited again with another birth nature. So the union to the first husband has to be broken by death. Amen. You agree so far? Amen. Notice again now, paragraph 154. You must be dead. You must be dead to your first husband. Oh my goodness, now we've got two people that's dead. So your husband's got to be dead, and you got to be dead to him. If you're united to Christ and still married to a denomination, you're an adulteress. You're a Laodicea. Now, but when you were separated from that union by spiritual death, your natural desire to cut your hair. You see why women around the message still want to cut their hair? Their first husband is still alive and well. I don't care what they say. I don't care how long they've been around. I don't care how much they shout and jerk and jump, speak in tongues and whatever. The husband is still alive. Christ the Word, the husband inside of you, sisters, would never lead you to cut your hair. It would never lead you, men, to live a life that is full of sin and uncleanness, displeasing to the Lord. No, sir, that husband will not do it. Now, the difference between the Lord Jesus and your first husband is the Lord Jesus is not a tyrant. He'll say, I want you to do this, and I want you to do that, and I want you to do this, and this would please me if you would do this. And your first husband says, do it now. And guess what we did? Did it. Now, your conscience will argue with your first husband and say, you don't need to listen to that music now. You know you shouldn't be on that website looking at that stuff. That's not becoming to a son of God. You shouldn't do this and other. That's what your conscience will say. But your first husband will say, hey, I'm the head of this house. You do what I say, woman. And of course, keep from getting beat. We did it. Because the truth of it is, we liked it. Well, glory, I'm going to preach with you or without you. It just looks better for you in heaven if you say amen. We enjoyed. Come on, children, be honest. Some of you enjoyed getting drunk. Some of you enjoyed running around with women. Some of you enjoyed running around doing this and that and the other. Why? Because by nature, you was married into that kind of a union. Your husband kept pregnating you with evil thoughts, and the progeny of your union was sin. Well, some of you had a big family of them too. Oh my. Now you imagine Brother Branham is preaching this message in Jack Moore's church. Jack Moore was a Pentecostal preacher, which left the denomination to be identified with Brother Branham. He left the denomination, come out of the denomination, but all of it never actually came out of him. Because he never really saw who Brother Branham was. Oh my Lord, can you imagine if Brother Branham would be allowed to stand here at Happy Valley and preach this sermon of Invisible Union? We'd tear this place down brick by brick. Even some of you Baptists have been shouting here this morning if you've been able to preach this here. But here he preaches it under great opposition the very next morning. Jack Moore and Brother Brown and some of them guys are looking for Brother Branham and they can't find him in the motel. They sent him to the wrong room and they're going to ask him, they're going to tell him to cancel the meeting. He can't preach no more. But God had to have this sermon preached. In this sermon, the Invisible Union is one of the clearest views of the entirety of the message of your first husband and your last. Amen. Nowhere else does he deal with it. As I mentioned last night, that the words first husband are mentioned 8 times in the message. Every time it's right here in the Invisible Union. But you imagine the background. Here I am preaching this morning to message folks. Can you imagine preaching this to a Pentecostal church? God bless Elijah. You were separated from your first union by spiritual death. Now you are... Oh, here's the key. Born again. Or... Say it. Remarried. Okay, so my first birth was a marriage. My second birth was a marriage. But the same person didn't marry the same two men. Now it may look like to you it's the same person, but the way God looks at it, it ain't the same person. It's two different people. Two different seed lines, two different natures. Oh my, now you are born again or remarried again to the new spiritual union, not of your natural life, of the things of the world, but of eternal life. Hang on. That germ that was in you at the beginning found you. Glory to God. That germ that was in the beginning found you. I didn't even know he was looking for me. Did you? Did you know your germ was looking for you? I didn't know I had a germ. I didn't know anything about no germ. But the germ knew he had me before I knew I had one. Amen. Why? Because God is going to consummate the new union by a new birth. And my germ has got to find me. That germ that was in you at the beginning found you. Paragraph 229. How did you come to do this? You were deceived into it by your first marriage. To your adulterous parent, Eve. Oh, but I like this. It's of no fault of your own. By your natural birth, you come after Eve who committed adultery. By your natural birth, you come after Eve who committed adultery. by your natural birth, you come after Eve who committed adultery. Yes, I'm going to say it again. By your natural birth, you come after Eve who committed adultery, which made you born an adulteress. Lord Jesus, that's the reason you were born. You're a sinner to begin with. That's right. You was deceived into it. No, it ain't your fault. You never did it. Glory to God. Apparently in this quote, there's more yous in there than what you're seeing. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You were born in sin, but yet you never did it. You were born an adulteress, yet you never did it. You never did it, but yet he just got through saying you was an adulteress. The question is, you who? You never did it. Lord Jesus. Because that little germ that was in you was to be you before the foundation of the world. That little germ that was in you was to be you. But he couldn't be you as long as you were married to your first husband. You had to be that, Lord God. He couldn't be you. Lord, you understand? He couldn't be you as long as you were married to your first husband. So you had to be that. That, what a sinner and adulteress. But this wanted to be you. This germ in you wanted to be you. But it couldn't be you. So I wish you were married. Because that little germ that was in you was to be you. Lord, have mercy, children. Do you realize what you are this morning? If you're truly baptized with the Holy Ghost, you now are identified as the germ. The germ that was to be you now is. Why? Because you're not identified with the first husband. He's dead. And the germ is now manifesting itself. You're not an adulterous Eve. You're the second Eve. Amen. You are not living in adultery, but you are living in perfect bliss in marriage with Jesus Christ. You're standing complete, justified. Like you never did it in the first place. Hallelujah. Now remember, this is a Thanksgiving day when Brother Branham preaches this, 11/25/65. Talking about a Thanksgiving. There ain't no cranberry sauce, no dumplings, no noodles, no turkey that can compare to a Thanksgiving like that. Oh, you talking about a Thanksgiving. Here we ought to sit here today in the first part of May. But let's make it a Thanksgiving day, shall we? Let's make it a real Thanksgiving to know that we are no longer guilty of that first marriage. Hallelujah. And we are living a wonderful, happy married life with Jesus Christ. Do you understand where you are, friends? Some of you have been in this wedding night for 20 years, for 25 years, for 30 years. What is it? It's just a wonderful, prolonged marital bliss in this wedding night. He said, I'll go up to the mountains of myrrh. I'll climb to the hill of frankincense. And there I will wait to the dawn of the day. What is it? The breaking of the millennium. You are in your marriage night right now with Jesus Christ. We're not going nowhere. Oh, I wish Jesus would come. Oh, I hate this old world. I do too, in one sense. But why in the world would I would not want to enjoy every minute of my married life to Jesus Christ? Amen. I want to do everything I can for him, don't you? But I also want to enjoy being married. Praise be to God. Don't you get tired of church, Brother Donnie? You got to be kidding me. I mean, how long, Brother Donnie, have you went to church pretty much all of my life? Look, friends, when I was at Pentecost, I'd preach as much as 42 and 44 nights in a row. Be in Louisiana one night and close out that night and be in Indiana the next night and make an album wedding day after that. If I'd done that without a message, what about now that I have the very word of God? Getting old to me? Oh, why, Brother Donnie, you'll slow down. I don't think so. Even when I get so old, I'm in a wheelchair. I'll have buzz motors on the side of my wheelchair. Hallelujah. He is my everything. I love him more than money. I love him more than silver. I love him more than pleasure. He is my everything. You're standing complete, justified, like you never did it in the first place. Amen. Hallelujah. Talk about a Thanksgiving. I feel real good. I'm more thankful for that than anything I know of. You are the pure, virtuous, sinless bride of the Son of the Living God. Every man and woman that's born, notice, of the Spirit of God washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and believes every word of God stands as though you never sinned at the first place. You are perfect. The blood of Jesus Christ. Your lips are scarlet. Your cheeks are flushed with the pomegranate, the white and the red fruit mixed together, with each little pistil pointing up toward the crown, which lays in the middle of the pomegranate. Virtuous, sinless. As I said last night, I wonder if this is not what the angels look into. Think, how did he do that? How did he take them? How did he figure out this plan? And the angels are just looking at one and say, wow, can you believe this? Is this tremendous or what? And they're looking at you. And there's all these millions of stars out there. And say, forget the stars. Look at these people. That's where the miracles is at. Look at the universe, look at the sun, look at the moon. But right here is where I see his display. Every day, my brothers and sisters, since he created them, maybe millions of years ago, they've stayed right in their place. They haven't changed. But you change daily. Sometimes hourly. And then when you go through the real change, it's secondly. As you get older and moody and this and that and the other goes on in your life, he constantly is ministering to us. His grace and mercy. How can this be? Pure, virtuous, sinless, stands as though you never sinned at the first place. Paragraph 269, you're standing completely. You never sinned at the first place. God don't even know. Him whom nothing can be hid from. Yet he does not even remember you ever being married or being a sinner. Can't you see why we need to get rid of this human spirit and get our theophany? In our human spirit is this plague of memory We can remember being sinners. We can remember saying things wrong and doing things wrong. In a theophany, you'll embrace it one day and you'll realize you're in that word form body you should have had in the first place. In eternity, you will not have a human spirit. The prophet said your spirit breaks up when you die. Good riddance, spirit. My memory and all them things that's plagued me all of my life, one day I'll get rid of it. And I will get a theophany, which I should have had down the regular line of God's divine order. But until I get it, until I get it, I'm going to feed on the word. I'm going to shout. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to live for him every day of my life as if though it was my last, because it might be. I'm going to enjoy being married to the Son of God. I'm going to sit on the palanquin with him. I'm going to eat with him. I'm going to drink with him. I'm going to fellowship with him. I am happily married to Jesus. Lord willing, July the 8th, my wonderful wife and I will be married 44 years. I'll spend that day preaching in London. And the next day we'll turn 61 and I'll spend that day preaching in London. Happy anniversary and happy birthday. And I'm going to tell you one thing. I love that beautiful woman now more than when I first met her when we was kids. Praise the Lord. Don't tell her, but she's getting a few gray hairs. Can you imagine? She's actually wanted to get gray-headed so she could match me. Yeah, that's what she says. I thought about having her checked, but I thought, no, maybe she's all right. Oh, my lover, now more than ever, has our marriage been totally faultless? Of course not. Have we had problems? Yes. Have we had struggles? Yes. But you know what my greatest memories are about our marriage? Happiness. Peace, the peace of God. Being able to talk about the word every time we pull out of church here. We rehash and rehash the service and the word, and we talk about the word back and forth. She prays and reads her Bible probably more than some preachers do. Oh my, my greatest, fondest memories are of a marriage given to us by God, but it did not fall out of heaven. We purposed by the grace of God. We wanted to make our marriage heavenly. Heavenly. If a man and woman can have a heavenly marriage, what about a heavenly bridegroom and an earthly bride? Oh, can I go on? You never sinned at the first place. God don't even know. It's in the sea of forgetfulness. You never did it. You were accused of it by the accuser, but really from the beginning, you were predestinated to be a son or daughter of God. You're standing there washed, and your old book of divorcement is put away and it's dead, absolutely out of existence, even in the mind of God. Apparently we didn't get it the first time, so he's going to say it again. You're the virtuous bride of Christ, washed in the blood of Christ, precious, virtuous, sinless Son of God, standing with a pure, unadulterated bride word that he washed by the water of his own blood that became flesh and manifested that he might take you, which were predestinated, into the bosom of the Father before the beginning, the same as he was. The same as he was. He was that great attribute of God called love. So what does he do? Wedding night after wedding night, Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday, on and on and on. He meets with us, tells us how much he loves us. Or if we're wrong, he'll spank us a little bit and correct us and line us back up and then go loving on us. I tell you one thing, I hated to whip my two girls whenever they was growing up, but I had to sometimes, not very often, but I had to. But you know what? As soon as I felt like the judgment part was passed, I just had to get them back in my arms and let them know how much I loved them. I didn't want to eradicate the correction that I gave them. It's the same way as a pastor. Sometimes I have to burn the hide off of you all. Sometimes it feels like a meat wagon in here. There's fillets of skin laying everywhere, toenails and ears and hair and eye, and I don't know what all piled up everywhere, but I can't wait to pull you together in my arms and say, children, I love you. Children, I love you. I want us to make it together. I'm not trying to preach hard on you because I don't like you. I love you with all of my soul, and I want us to be together. Watch this in paragraph 282. Your first husband is dead. And you know he's dead. I forgot to announce it last night. We'd be having a funeral today. I would like to extend my deepest happiness and shoutings to those of you who have now lost your loved one. I ain't going to preach this man in the gate, but I'm going to tell you, he wasn't nothing but a wife beater. He wasn't nothing but a hater. He wasn't nothing but a tyrant. He beated you down all of your entire life. He hated you. Glory be to God, you're free of him. Amen. Your old husband is dead. Good riddance, old man. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're not going to weep over him. We're not going to cry over him. We're going to shout. Once again, in this God's only provided place, you remember last Thursday night's message? Your old husband must be dead. And your new husband is the Word. Shulamite, listen to me. Until you get a revelation of the difference between yourself and yourself, you'll be embarrassed on the palanquin. You'll never feel comfortable moving out of the kitchen into the living room, into the bedroom where our Lord Jesus can give you himself. You'll feel humiliated, embarrassed. I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. Maybe I'm crazy. I don't know. But to me, this will be one of the last elements to consummating the bride's revelation for a body changer. Oh, you think I ain't getting it, Brother Donnie? Well, maybe we ain't. But what I'm doing is laying in tons and tons of mechanics. And when it does hit you, whoo, look out, devil. Notice you're sealed in there. You're beneath the blood. You don't go out no more. Going out and coming in, going out and coming in. God's son and God's family sealed by the Holy Spirit. The devil couldn't get you. If he had to. You are dead. Your old husband part is dead. And you are buried. What? My husband died and I got buried? Amen. Who in the world ever heard of that? So your husband dies and they bury you. Or your wife dies and they bury Lord Jesus. It's not enough just for you to say, well, my old husband's dead. You've got to die. And you are buried. Now notice your soul, notice you. And your life is hid in God. Look up. So my old husband died. And when he died, I got buried. But not in the ground. I got buried in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. See sealed by the Holy Ghost. How is he going to get you? How's he going to get out? You're there, glory. Now I'll leave that alone just enough so you know what I'm talking about. Excuse me, continue this funeral. You sorry outfit. You beat your wife. You whipped her. You talked her into doing all kinds of stuff. You sorry man. I think the greatest thing that can happen to you is your existence is terminated. And there is no memory of you that you ever lived. Remember in the Old Testament, whenever people would sin, God would threaten them. He would tell them, if you did this and this and this, I'll blot your name out and your seed, you'll have no seed, and your memory will fade from the earth. The worst thing that can happen to an individual, their memory ceases to exist. Notice this invisible union, paragraph 223. Your old book is gone with your old union. Now your name, your old, and has been transferred. You say, do you mean to tell me that my old book, God put it in the sea of his forgiveness, and you stand perfectly before God. Now your name is in the new book. Not the book of life, but the Lamb's book of life, what the Lamb redeemed. Not the old book of your natural union, but your new bride. Your new bride. Hallelujah. He says, your new life is in the Lamb's book of life. Go to the courthouse of life all you want to, devil. I challenge you. Go to the courthouse of life. I challenge you. Look for my name. Look for my name in the realms of mortal existence. Now, I've married many people here, and you've seen me do it. Depending on which county they get their license in, I'm liable and responsible to return that marriage license. Two forms that I have to fill out. If it's Carter County, I have to hand carry it in. I have 3 days to return that. If the couple is going out of the country, which sometimes they've done, I will sit there and wait until they give me their legal certificate so that they can use it as an entrance back to the United States. For the most part, I will return it, and then they will mail it to them. If it's in Washington County, I can mail it. If it's in Unicoi County, I can mail it. But in Carter County, I hand carry it. Lord have mercy, from this point on, I'm trying to behave, but I don't know how much. The Lord Jesus Christ wanted to be sure this was not lost in the mail. He wanted to be sure this didn't wind up in the inbox file and be deleted. So he hand carried our innocence right before the throne of God. Hallelujah! Hand carried our innocence, praise be to God, and said, Father, they are free. They are free. Here I hand carry the evidence. I give my blood upon the altar. I set my wife free. Oh, some of them won't know it for 2,000 years, but they are free. They are not married any longer. The records are destroyed. They are annihilated. Watch what happens. Your new bride, hallelujah. Your new life is in the Lamb's book of life. Your marriage certificate, hallelujah. Where your true, eternal germ from the beginning takes hold. So what happened was, when you got married, it released the life from the eternal germ. And the eternal germ started becoming you. It was held by the old marriage. You couldn't do it, no matter how much the germ wanted to be you. It couldn't be. But once you had the marriage certificate in your hand, you received quickening power from your new husband. You received quickening power. What on? The germ that was in you. It's not that you're going to bring forth a little of Jesus and another little Jesus and another little Jesus. It's a little Jesus, all right. But it's that little Jesus in you. You received, you went into the bedroom as it was with him, and he quickened that eternal seed of God, that life in you. And the life took a hold and started growing. What? A Christian. A Christian. Can I have a few more minutes? But the word justified is as though you've never done it. Amen. It's not even regarded at all. How is it done? In God's book of the sea of forgiveness, your old book and marriage is divorced and dead. It's not even in the memories of God. Amen. You are justified. Therefore, being justified, it was you who was accused. But you never done it. But Brother Donnie, I remember doing it. No. No. No, 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 no. If you're born of the Holy Ghost, you remember the person who used to live in you did it. Oh, God. But it made an imprint on your memory. And every now and then you'll get spiritual amnesia and think him's you and use him and him. You need to keep this all straight. Amen. Whenever that old person did that, it recorded in your memory. And then Satan will bring it back and say, you done so and say, I remember I done that. You need to say, wait a minute, devil. That man is dead. That was not me. The real me is the germ of God. That was in my past. I don't even have a past as a child of God. You never done it in the first place. The whole union is in the sea of God's forgetfulness. You wasn't married to it to begin with. Well, who was? The old you. The other you. This is the new you who. Do you know who you are? You. You who? The seed germ. This is the way God tricked the devil. One of the many, many ways, but this is one of the ways that he did it. Whenever he thought he got the entirety of the human race because he got Adam and his first wife. But the secret was in the mystery of the book. God gave Adam the book of redemption, and he would have spoke every name into existence. Christ should have come through Eve. Eve should have been my mother. She should have been yours. She should have been yours. And what did God do? Once man fell, then God took the book back into his presence. So the mystery of the book is what? The revealing of the names. Notice angel in Revelation, whenever he come, and John said, I looked at, and I saw that angel, and he had a little book in his hand open. It wasn't a great big book, which was the book of life. It was a little book of the Lamb's book of life. The personal diary of the Lamb. Amen. A personal diary of the Lamb. And the diary of the Lamb was locked with seven seals and couldn't be revealed to the end time. And what is part of the mystery of the end time? You seeing who you are in Christ Jesus and knowing that person. Oh, well, I used to drink and I used to run around. And one day God said to me, this is the way folks have salvation. I was lost. I was this. I done horrible, horrible things. And God forgive me. And God forgive me. And then God took that old widow, and God took that old wicked woman, and God filled me with the Holy Ghost. No. No, no, no. That person that you were died. And that person that you are, never done what that person done. So let's say some of you are looking for a new place to live. You drive around Johnson City, Elizabeth, and Roan Mountain, wherever more, and you figure, well, we'd like to live over here because the school district is good. And so you pull up in the cul-de-sac here in this neighborhood, and here's this house. Oh, it looks awful. Windows are broke out of it. One of the shutters is hanging side-goggled. shingles is off. So, boy, them people that lived in that house must have been rough. Right. And then your little wife's mind goes to running 932 miles an hour. Now, honey, you could hang that shutter. Honey, you could do. You ever notice how that works, brothers? That honey-do list is always on our side. Oh, Jesus, I'm finishing this back here. Just imagine your old house. You had scars of all kinds of sin and horrible things. Jesus passed by in the cul-de-sac. Ain't that one of mine? Yep, that's the address. That's it. Is it on sale? Real cheap. Let's buy it. So you go in and you go to stripping it all out. You got it. Get rid of all the cigarette smoke and all the marijuana smoke and this and that and the other. And then some new people move in. And people that's familiar with that cul-de-sac, they come up and go around and say, I want you to look at that house. You remember how that looked when old so-and-so lived in there? Boy, them people have really done something with that house, ain't they? That's what your life is. That's what your life is. Oh, sure, the memory's still there. And maybe they went by and took snapshots on their iPhone and whatever more. Look at here. Can you believe the difference? But you know what they say? Oh, but them ain't the same people. Them ain't the same people. Somebody else lives in that house now. Amen. It's the same way with you. That old nature, that old husband of yours made you do all of that stuff. But when he died and Jesus moved in, he started remodeling you. He remodeled your mind. He remodeled your speech. He remodeled your dress. He remodeled your music. Lord have mercy, I wish somebody would help me. Then the devil passes by and says,
that you be mine. And you're waving at the door.
Devil, we're through. We're through, devil.
Hallelujah. You wasn't married to it to begin with. He the bridegroom. Let me close. He the bridegroom bore your shame himself for you in your place. He took your place for you. Were predestinated for him. Can you imagine how this makes Jesus feel when people in the message don't even believe in predestination? Do you understand what you are doing? You're taking away from him part of his greatest treasure. You're not predestinated just so much for your own self. You're predestinated for him. For you were predestinated for him to be in his bride before the foundation of the world. The Bible said so. You are the predestinated seed.
But Brother Donnie, I don't remember when I got born again. That's the problem. I don't remember. All right. I want you to think with me now real good. How many of you remember when your mother gave birth to you? Okay, now wait a minute. I see no hands here. There's a problem. There's got to be a problem here somehow. Because y'all let the devil get you down over a spiritual application of a natural application. You say, oh, Brother Donnie, that's crazy. How can we ever remember? Exactly. You want a sensation, a jump, a shout, to something where you can tie back to what? God don't want you to have that bride. God wants you to know by revelation. Look at Sister Georgia Bruce when we dealt with her a few weeks ago. A sister that had the Holy Ghost. And yet she never had a place where she could put her foot. That she could be able to say, well, Brother Branham, I've never had this experience and that experience. And said, a prophet Elijah said, Sister Georgie, I have watched your life by vision. And if there was anything there, I would tell you. And she says, I believe that. Lord God. Look, children. He loved you before the world began. Would he come down now and lose you? If there's anything between you and him, he will make sure you find it out. Can you imagine that little sister sitting there and a prophet of God looking in her life, not seeing one thing? But yet in herself, she said, I know there's so many things about me. What's the difference? Georgie's vision versus Christ's vision. What's she looking at? Her faults, her failures, maybe memories. But Christ is looking when the loop is pulled back up into eternity and says, you are pure, virtuous, sinless. Nothing. Nothing. Between you and God. Don't raise your hands, but I wonder how many of you saints sitting right here this morning. It's 20 minutes to 1. So if the Lord Jesus comes at 1:45, 4.5 minutes from now, would you have to go over here and make this right and go there and make that right? Or can you sit right here and be just as calm as you are right now and say, praise God, I'm waiting, Lord. Come on. Amen. I'm ready. I'm ready, Jesus. Do you believe a child of God can live that way? The question of it is, do you live that way? Let's bow our heads together. So not only does the first husband have to die, being a high priest, Christ cannot marry a widow. So something has to happen to us before he could ever marry us. The new creation must begin in our soul from the germ life of God. It is recreated by the breath of God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord knows each of your needs today, your walk, where you are. I'm sure a lot of you have been married to the Lord Jesus for a long time, for many years maybe. And you're just enjoying your wedding night with the Lord as it was. You've had strains and difficulties and whatever more, but you're still married. Maybe some of you aren't married yet. The husband's still ruling over you. Natural desires to do wrong. I'm not talking about being tempted now from the outside in, but I'm talking about natural desires from the inside out. That's the difference. When you're born again, it does not come from within you, friends. This whole flesh, sure, it's unconverted. It's a cocklebur. It'll bother you as long as you live. But the Holy Ghost will bring it subject. Flesh, you mind me. You're going this, we're doing this, we're doing that. Yes, yes, yes. Wherever you are today, may the angels of God which are in this building, may they come by your way, minister to you. I can tell you pretty much the day, probably pretty close to the time, in Pentecost, whenever I received a Pentecostal experience. I remember it was on a Sunday night. Bobby Medley was the preacher's name that preached there at my uncle's church. Probably around 8:45, something like that. I went up and started praying and praying. They started beating me on the back and praying and praying. And I broke through and speaking in tongues. I can remember that. Now I want to shock you. That was not the new birth. I was on my way. I preached for women preachers. I preached eternal hell. I preached three gods. All kinds of error after receiving that experience. But I went on and on and on. And it led me to something greater. Now, can I tell you today? Can I give you the moment, the night, the day, the afternoon? What sermon was being preached? Who was the preacher that had actually moved into my soul when I come to this message? I cannot.
but I know it moved. That's what matters to me. It moved. Oh, Brother Donnie, don't that bother you? Not in the least. Because I see my life. I see my crave for the Word. I see my love for the Lord Jesus. So I know that it's happened. I do not know when I was conceived in my mother. I do not know when my father imparted his part, mixing together with my mother. I do not. I do not know, remember when I was born. I do not remember the first how many ever years of my life. Are you going to sit there and tell me I wasn't born? Are you going to sit there and tell me I wasn't a two-year-old boy because I can't remember it? Well, something happened to me, Brother Donnie. It will. But I'm afraid it's happened to some of you are looking for the wrong thing to happen. Look at your desires. What did the prophet tell Sister Georgia Bruce? Sister Georgia, normally you're born a human being. You cater to the world. He said, but look at you. Something's happened. That's right, she said. What was it? Christ, she said. That's right, he said. He took the desires out of your heart. Praise God. Your old husband died. And that loosed you to be remarried to Christ the Word. Praise the Lord Jesus. How many would like to be remembered today before the Lord? Just raise your hand. No matter what your need is, whether it's spiritual, physical, whatever it is, financial. Praise God. Oh, children, how happy we ought to be here today. Our name has been transferred. The germ that was to be you found you. And now you're living under the influence of the germ life. Praise God. God was the first one to practice germ warfare. The devil thought he had him defeated by flesh, but God was going to practice germ warfare. So it had his germs in the hearts of his elected that overcome in every age. Praise God. And there ain't nothing out of hell going to stop them. Can we stand together? Would you lay your hand on that person standing by you and let's offer a word of prayer. Also, when you pray for them, let's do likewise for those that will be streaming the services today. Lord Jesus, as we stand here in your great presence, Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd be able to take these simple thoughts, Lord, and let them minister to your children. Lord, if there's one or many standing here today and that old husband is not dead, may they realize their attendance to church, paying their tithes, giving offerings, doing good things that they would do for even good people is not enough, Lord, to set them free. Amen. That old husband must die. He must be buried, and they are not allowed to cry at the funeral. Amen. For godly sorrow worketh repentance, and if we're really sorry, we're not sorry that old man is dead. We're glad. Praise God. Lord Jesus, may you move on every heart in the visible audience and the invisible audience as well. Father God, I pray for our young people. I pray for our older ones. Lord, whoever here today that's truly not born again, that's not identified in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. For we know it's much easier to say, where do you go to church? I belong to Happy Valley. Well, who's your pastor? Donnie Reagan. It's much easier to say that than to honestly say, I belong to Jesus Christ. I have the token. It's displayed in my life. I am his and he is mine. Oh God, we thank you that we can say we go to this church or that church, the ones that preaches the truth. But first and foremost, we want to know that we belong to you, Lord. That the old husband is dead. Praise God. And that little germ that was in us from the beginning, it found us. It was released. And it was quickened then by the Spirit of God. And when it was, we got married to Christ the Word. Praise God. I thank you for this weekend, Lord. I don't know what it's meant to anybody else, but Lord, it's been so special to me. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for last night and today. Oh, bless your name, Lord Jesus. Lord, if there's one here today or many, Lord God, that's sick,
need to be healed. May the presence of God touch them, Father. May they got children that's wayward, a husband or a wife. Father, would you move? Lord, we believe the last ones are coming in, Lord. We can see around the world you're doing a work, and we're so grateful to be part of it. But Father, we've seen it for quite some time now. The majority of the preaching is to the bride. The majority of the preaching, getting her ready, helping her to see her position. Lord, approaching it from one angle and another, it lets us know the time is near. Lord, be mindful of our children. Be mindful of our loved ones, Lord. Even if they're not bride, bring them in, Lord, and let them be saved. Lord God, let them at least be saved and make that Gentile foolish virgin, Lord. We pray for our families, our friends. We pray for those, Lord, that at one time sat among us and have gone wayward, Lord. And the world's got a hold of them, Father. Oh, Jesus, be merciful, I pray, Lord. May your compassion and your mercy move, Lord God, around the face of the earth upon those that are redeemed, dear God, and those that are redeemable. Have mercy upon them, Father. We ask you, Lord God. We bless your name, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Father. Lord, may I say to you today, you have given me many, many wonderful years of happy married bliss. Amen. I am so happy to be married to Christ the Word. Oh, there's certain things you don't want me to do and certain things you don't want me to go and this and that and the other. That's fine. That's no problem. I want to please you, Lord. You've been so good to me. What little things that you'd ask me to not do or to give up, what is that compared to what you've given me back, Lord? Amen. I am so happily married. Praise be to God. I've been on my wedding night for years and years, and it's getting better and better and better and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Lord, I love you today with all of my heart. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray if there's a person here today that cannot relate to what I'm talking about, if they hear me say this and they hear me pray this way and yet they themselves can't relate to it, God, may you help them. Lord, may that experience strike their soul in such a way that they can know themselves, Father. Grant it, I pray, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You love him, saints. Praise God. How many's got a happy marriage? With Jesus, I'm talking about. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise be to God. So if we stay another year, five, another 10. Let's make this agreement together. We tear up hell.
Amen.
Yes, we make the devil pay. We're going to live right, do right, speak right. We're going to do everything God wants us to do. And we're going to make the devil so miserable that he'll be so glad when we leave. He'll say, good riddance. Amen. Get on out of here and leave me alone. But we're not only going to fight the devil, we're going to love Jesus with all of our heart. As a matter of fact, we're going to love him more. We're going to have a greater marriage with him than we've ever had. More committed, more productivity of his word manifesting itself out of the little children attributes out of our lives called fruits of the Spirit and manifestation of his great attributes of love. We ain't going to say, oh, Jesus coming today. I don't know if I can make it another day or not. Get married. Amen. Get a life. Get a life.
Glory.
Is Jesus coming today? Not sure. But if you don't, I'll be looking for him tomorrow. Amen. But if you don't come today, me and him's going on a date. Well, you can still go on dates after you're married. Me and him's going on a date. Men alive, we're going to have great reveal word of the hour. Amen. I'm going to sit there and look at him. He's going to look at me, goo-goo out at one another. I'm telling you what. And then if he don't come tomorrow, we're going to go on another date on Tuesday. And we're going on another date Wednesday for sure. And then we're going on another date and we're just madly in love. Look, children, I'm sick. I am sick up to here. with people's feeble excuses for not having a walk with God. Well, people don't treat me around the church. They don't let, no, nobody shook my hand. Shut up! Fall in love with Jesus Christ and get baptized with the Holy Ghost and get every fiber of your being filled with God, and you'll realize it ain't all about you and your feelings. Praise God. You can come bouncing in them doors and bouncing out. Praise God. Wasn't that a meeting? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Wasn't that so good? Did you get anything? Tore me to pieces. Tore me from here down to here. But man alive, I needed it. Praise God. It was so good. I'll come back. I'm so mad. I'm coming back. I want more. I want more, man. I'll tell you one thing. This is my life. This is everything to me. Now your name is in the new book. Not the book of life, but the Lamb's book. Your new bride. Your new life is in the Lamb's book of life. Your marriage certificate. Where your true eternal germ from the beginning takes hold. Takes hold. Sing, Harry. Praise the Lord.
I believe we could all sing this. The devil don't like what's going on around here. Well, the devil don't like what's going on around here. We don't care what the devil don't like. We're going to praise our God tonight. The devil don't like what's going on around here. Praising God around here.
Thank you, Jesus.
Well, the devil don't like us praising God around here. But the bride don't care what the devil don't like. She's gonna praise our God with our mind. The devil don't like what's going on around here.
Well, the devil don't like cause my first husband died around here.
Shout and praise God with all my might. The devil don't like us shouting loud around here.
Blessed be the Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory. Well, the devil don't like it because my first husband had his funeral around here. The devil don't like it because there wasn't no grieving going on around here. But I honestly don't remember asking the devil what he really likes or don't like. I buried that old man
with all of my might. Hallelujah!
Well, the devil don't like us burying our first nature around here. Praise God!
Don't you love him, children? Can you imagine when you gather all these holy rollers together? Millions of them. Millions of them are gathered around the throne of God down through the ages. Shouting, praising God, worshiping him. Lord have mercy. What it'll be when we all gather together. Oh my. Let's pray together. Father, we love you today so much. Thank you for the service today, Lord. Praise, minister to our hearts and help us. Give us courage, strength. Lord, we wait on you to reveal yourself to us. A preacher can talk to us. A preacher can tell us what he sees. But yet we still have to see it for ourselves. So I pray that you'd help them, Lord. I'm not their priest. I'm not their mediator. But I could be able to intercede in that sense on their behalf. For revelation is Christ's way of making himself known to his church. So I pray that you'd quicken it to us, Lord. I know some of them got it today. I could see it. It was written all over their face. Their marriage certificate was from ear to ear. Praise God. I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you. Lord, if others didn't get it, let them come back Wednesday night. They may get it Wednesday night. They may get it next weekend. Who knows? Make it real to us, Lord. We love you. Forgive us of our mistakes, our failures. Help us to be a better wife. Help us to serve you better, love you better. We love you, Father. Go with us now, I pray. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Turn, shake somebody's hand, would you, and just tell them, it's been good to be in church today. It's been good to be in church, Brother West. Good to be in church, Brother Samuel. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. God bless you, saints. Let's sing together as we go. Amen. Sing it for us, Harry. God bless you. I love you in the Lord. Go in the fear of God.
Well, the devil don't like what's going on around here. The devil don't like what's going on around here.
Amen.
We don't care what the devil don't like. We're going to praise God tonight. The devil don't like what's going on around here. The devil don't like us shouting around here. Well, the devil don't like us shouting around here. We don't care what the devil don't like. We can shout with all our might. The devil don't like what's going on around here.
Hallelujah.
The devil don't like us singing around here. Well, the devil don't like us singing around here. We don't care what the devil don't like. We're gonna sing with all our might. The devil don't like us singing around here. Well, the devil don't like what's going on around here. Well, the devil don't like what's going on around here. We don't care what the devil don't like. We can shout with all our might. The devil don't like what's going on around here. The devil don't like what's going on around here.